Luke chapter 2.
And this morning we'll be looking at Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told of them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. May God be pleased by the reading of the word and invite you to have a seat as we consider a few thoughts from the passage this morning. As I mentioned before, it is a delight to be here. We're glad to be back in Dover. We appreciate you coming down to the hymn sing at Bethel. I see some faces that I saw there. It seemed like it was a long time ago, back in November. Lots happened since then, but we were glad to see you folks again and appreciate your fellowship and appreciate the special music you brought down to us. Today's message I've entitled Ordinary People with Extraordinary Purpose. Ordinary People with Extraordinary Purpose. I would tend to think that this is probably not the first time you've heard this passage of Scripture before. You've probably heard it read before. You've probably heard it preached dozens of times before. Many of you could probably recite it by heart as I went through and read it audibly to you. I want to look at this particular passage of Scripture this morning with you from a different perspective maybe than you've looked at it before. Consider this. This was the first public announcement of the Messiah's birth given by an angel. And it was given to a group of anonymous shepherds. Do you know what the shepherds' names were? Do you have any idea? I don't. It's not recorded anywhere that I've seen. We don't know anything about their families. Don't know much about their background, other than generically we know. And I'll step into that just a little bit as we look at who the shepherds were and the culture back then. Why shepherds? Why were shepherds chosen to be the ones to receive this great news, this great announcement of the Messiah's coming? Why not the priests? Why not the scribes? Why not the great religious leaders of the day? Why wasn't it in a temple somewhere, in a grand atmosphere, and all the high priests? But it was to anonymous shepherds. Let's look first of all at the work of the shepherd. Who were shepherds? What were they like? What was their job? I can actually relate to shepherds. I don't know if many of you know my background at all, but I am a bivocational pastor. Some have called me a trivocational, but my other occupation is a dairy farmer. I have a little understanding what it means to be a shepherd. I have a little experience in that. A little different. I have a little more comfort of having a barn to milk my cows in and having a little bit of warmth where perhaps they didn't have all the shelters that we have and some of those luxuries. Reading in some of the commentaries, it is pretty well known that their location suggests that they were caring for watching the temple flocks because of the proximity of where they were. Bethlehem was only 5 miles from Jerusalem, and many of the sheep used were the temple sacrifices. They were the ones. So they were watching the sheep that were used, that were going to be the sacrificial lambs. What were the shepherds doing at the time when they were getting the announcements from the angels? They were doing what they normally did. It was another routine night. They were doing their job. It was just another ordinary night on the job for them. Little did they realize that they soon would be meeting their sacrificial lamb. Life for the shepherd was a difficult kind of a life. We have testimony of a shepherd. I can give you a testimony of a dairy farmer, but probably more specifically, if we go to the scriptures and go back to the book of Genesis, we hear a testimony of someone who was caring for animals, caring for sheep. The testimony of a discussion between Jacob and Laban back in Genesis chapter 31. There's three verses here where he talks about what it's like to be a shepherd. This 20 years, verse 38 to 40, this 20 years have I been with thee. Thy ewes and thy she-goats have not cast their young, and the rams of thy flock have I not eaten. That which was torn of beasts I brought not to thee. I bear the loss of it. My hand didst thou require, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. Thus I was, in the day the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from mine eyes. It's hard work. It was hard work to be a shepherd. It wasn't under the best conditions. When it was raining out, guess what? They got wet. When it was hot out, guess what? They got overheated. When it was cold, they shivered. They were out there taking care of the animals that they had been entrusted with. They cared for their needs day in and day out. And as a farmer, I can relate to that. It's hard work. They're kind of a 24/7 issue. When the cows are sick, you take care of them. When they have needs, you take care of them. When they need water, you got to get it to them or get them to the water. You got to make sure they're fed properly and cared for. And here Jacob is testifying, hey, when there was a loss, I took the loss. And all the work that I did, I never took anything from you. He never felt entitled because they were bearing the burden that they deserved something other than the wage that they were told they were going to get. And so here was a shepherd, a testimony of a shepherd. We can kind of get a little bit of an idea of what it was like. As a farmer, a lot of times the animal's needs come before yours. Christmas morning is coming soon. And oh, what a delight it would be to get up in the morning and to actually not have to go to the barn and take care of the cows, to be able to just stay in the house and spend time with your family. And I can remember growing up as a youngster, and guess what? You didn't open the gifts until the cows were milked. That was the deal. I can remember as a young guy, about 9 years old, one morning we went out, my brother and I helped getting ready to get the chores done early because we had an incentive. And the other morning they'd have to kind of shake you up and drag you out, you know. But, well, we wanted to get chores done early so we could enjoy the gifts and all that sort of thing for, and even breakfast was kind of a thing back then. I think we appreciate it more as teenagers probably than kids. But we went out that one morning and opened the door, and the barn was flooded. One of the cows had busted one of the water buckets off and it flooded the barn overnight. So at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, we enjoyed breakfast and enjoyed our gifts. And we determined we were never going to let that happen again. The next year, my brother and I slept in the barn. Christmas Eve. And we said, we're never going to, if a bucket comes off, we're going to hear the noise, we're going to wake up, and we're not going to get delayed in our Christmas ever again. Guess what? Nothing happened, and we slept in the barn for nothing. But guess what we did the next year? We slept in the barn again. We started a tradition that's been lasted over 40 years. My kids sleep in the barn on Christmas Eve. We have our nieces and nephews. There's a waiting list to sleep in the barn at the Jackson Farm. If you want to get on it, let me know and I'll put you on the list. It got so bad that we had to put an age limit on to. You have to be at least 9 years old to stay in the barn overnight. It's funny how traditions get started, but it all came back to the fact that it was the cow's needs came before ours, and we were trying to get ahead of that. And either way, we had to get the chores done. It kind of helped us get more people out there, and we got the chores done. And actually, I don't have to milk now in the morning. The last 4 or 5 years, I've been able to take the morning off and help our parents with the breakfast. And they've kind of given us the gift of hospitality. They've expressed that over the years. They started having a Christmas breakfast at our home, and that too has lasted several decades. We would invite people from church or invite people from that didn't have a wife or a husband or family was far away. And it's grown to the point we've had as many as 100 people over for breakfast on Christmas morning. That is something to behold, that feast, let me tell you, folks. Again, if I give you our directions to get there, you can walk through the line and no one's going to know the difference. If you want a free breakfast, come down to the farm. But it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work to care for animals. They're there 24/7 for you, day and night. And I think this is how the shepherds lived. They knew that was part of the job description. They were on an obscure hill, tending some sheep. Very little went on out there. Most people didn't even regard them with a great deal of respect, one commentator writes. Many religious people despised the shepherds. They were, you know, one of those kind of people. Their work was not only made them unclean, but it kept them away from the temple for weeks for a time. For weeks at a time so they could not be made clean. They were not even allowed to testify in a court of law in those days. It's interesting, in that particular fashion, politically their word meant nothing. But we'll see in just a few minutes, to God their word meant everything. Their testimony. What a different perspective God has on us than other people do. They weren't clean. They probably didn't smell all that great. It's probably a good thing I changed my clothes before I came here this morning. Well, I didn't have a lot to do this morning. But when you're around your sheep, you start to smell like them, you know? And that's one of the, you know, and as a young guy growing up, you know, you'd get made fun of if you smelled a little funny. And I think that's what they went through. They knew what it meant to kind of be despised or kind of looked down upon. But their job was to keep watch. That phrase means to guard, to keep or preserve from danger. It was a big job. And I believe they served their master with diligence and faithfulness. And we see when we get beyond verse 8, that's the setting here where the angels or the same country shepherds were abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. They were doing their job. And lo, verse 9, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Think of these rough, kind of tough farmer guys, and they're out there in the night just taking care of their animals, and next thing you know, these angels show up. I would think it would take a lot to kind of scare them away. I mean, you think about the predators that they're always looking after to make sure they're not going to harm the animals. They were probably some pretty tough guys. You wouldn't want to meet them in the dark barn, you know? But the angels coming upon them, it was such a shock to them. And of course, it would be a shock to any one of us. They were so afraid. And the angel told them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you." Imagine yourself a shepherd hearing this for the very first time. "And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Imagine yourself back in that day, being a shepherd and having all that happen to you within a matter of moments. I bet that's something you're going to tell your kids and grandkids, isn't it? Kind of a different night on the job. Something they weren't expecting. Something that caused them kind of a righteous fear. What a tremendous message they were given, an angelic proclamation of the coming King. It was God's message of hope for all mankind. We believe, as believers in Christ, that the gospel is the greatest message you could ever hear. Because it's the message of life. It's the message of hope. It was a message of hope for them back then as much as it is a message of hope for us today. I think that little four-letter word hope is something that I think, if you could wrap that up and give that to somebody in a present, they would take that over anything else you could give them. Being involved in emergency services as well, it's hard to go a day without hearing someone who is overdosing on drugs or trying to take their own life. And folks, we look around and we see some poverty here, but we don't even have it real bad. Leave this country and start looking around and you'll see that we don't have it that bad, and yet we have people in our own country, in our own cities, in our own towns and villages that have no hope, or so they think. And they were given, these shepherds were given, the greatest message of all time. Hope. Hope. What was their instinctive response? It was to go. It was to do what they were told. That's the kind of people they were. That's the kind of workers they were. When they were told to do a job, they did a job. And they were told to go. And they went with haste, we read in verses 15 and 16. And they sought the Christ child just like they served their master, with diligence and with faithfulness. It's not stated, but they probably had to check more than one barn to find the Christ child. Wouldn't you think? Wouldn't you tend to think that there were, in a town that size, that there'd be more than one barn where animals were housed with all the people coming in at that particular time of year? Maybe they had to spread out. Maybe they had to get, say, "Okay, guys, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to cover the west side. You cover the east side." I don't know how they did it. I don't know that they just knew specifically, "Oh, this is the barn," and this is kind of our understanding that they all knew exactly. I think it took a little work to maybe find. And what they were looking for was probably the only barn where there was a woman giving birth. And that's what they were looking for. They were looking for the Christ child. Contrast that with the religious leaders of the day who knew all the details of the prophecies and didn't take the time or make the effort to confirm it for themselves. They had all the details there. They knew. They knew what was coming. We go back to the book of Matthew, chapter 2. Matthew 2 says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was what? He was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes and the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. They knew. And thou, Bethlehem, in the day of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquiring of them diligently what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. I think the motives of Herod and the motives of the shepherds were absolutely different. I think the shepherds were coming for true worship. And Herod was seeking out of fear of losing his job. We look at the worship of the shepherds. And I think we just, if we look at verse 17. And we read those first few words of the verse. And when they had seen it. Just again, try to take yourself back to there. The shepherds finally came and they finally walked in and they found the stable where Mary was giving birth or had given birth to the child. These rough and tough farmers. These shepherds that everyone else looked down upon or held their nose when they walked by. They were in the presence of the king. They probably couldn't have got too close to the real king of the day. They couldn't even get close to the temple because of their uncleanness. And they were in arm's reach of the Savior. I wonder how privileged they felt at that moment. I just wonder. I wonder how it affected them. I wonder, wow, I can't believe. They probably wouldn't have been on an invitation list to come to such a glorious event in the culture of the day. But they had the greatest, grandest invitation ever from a multitude of the heavenly hosts. I can just imagine them just, their jaws drop. They're just probably speechless to realize the privilege that they were enjoying. They must have savored the moment. And I think if we ponder that thought for just a moment, what a perfect picture of God's amazing grace. The unacceptable and unworthy coming humbly to the Savior. What a picture. What a picture for us to see and to kind of contemplate there. And then we look at the word of the shepherds. And we see that in the last part of 17 to verse 20. They made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told of them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. They were passing the news along. Notice they made known abroad the sayings which were told of them. They didn't just bump into the next guy along the way on their way back to the pasture and say, oh, by the way, if you want to see something really interesting, go over to the barn over there. And no, it wasn't like that. They knew. They had been entrusted with the great message of the gospel. The Messiah was here. And they were the messengers. They were telling everybody, it seems. I don't know that you could have stopped these men. I can see him running across the fields. I can see him going from place to place. Guess what? I can see him like Pastor Tony. You know, he's like that. He's got that kind of excitement, that kind of enthusiasm. Could you imagine him being one of the shepherds? Now you're getting the idea. There's no way you could have stopped him. You would have had to rope him, right? And that's the kind of enthusiasm I think those shepherds had that night. Wow. They spread the word with diligence and faithfulness. They told everyone. Those that heard were amazed, the scripture tells us. One commentator writes this, shepherds are not easily fooled. They are practical men of the world who have little to do with fantasy. If they said they saw angels and went and found the Messiah, you could believe them. God selected hard-working men to be the first witnesses that His Son had come into the world. What a message they were entrusted with. How privileged they must have felt. And it wasn't just passing the word along and, okay guys, let's go back to work. Notice that they were personally impacted. And the shepherds returned what? Glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. They were worshiping. I don't know how long that worship service lasted that night, but I would think that it probably, they didn't get much sleep. What a testimony that they were personally impacted by the gospel and being in the presence of the King of Kings. Folks, I believe that God often chooses to use the ordinary for the extraordinary. He calls the poor and the humble. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 to 31. Notice this pause speaking here, or writing to the Corinthians. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greek, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world, or of the world, to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. The base things of this world, the things that are despised, shepherds, perhaps, God hath chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. I don't think those shepherds went home and said, oh, look how good I am. Hey guys, we're the ones that received the message. I don't think that was in their DNA. I don't think that was in their makeup. I think they probably felt privileged to the day they took their last breath, that God used them in such an extraordinary way. Who could have orchestrated such a thing? Who would have? Would you have chosen a farmer to make a great proclamation? I'm so glad that we have a God who's greater than we are. I'm so glad that we have a God who causes us to think and not be able to apprehend. Someone once told me, if we had a God that we could figure out, He wouldn't be a God worth worshiping. And so we have a God who profoundly used those he knew would be faithful to carry out what he asked them to do. He wasn't looking at their resume. He wasn't looking how many letters they had after their names, and I'm not saying that education is a bad thing. It's certainly something to be respected. But God was looking for someone whose heart was faithful to serve him, to care for what he'd asked them to do. The shepherds were given the job of angels to proclaim the birth of Christ. We think about the history of the scriptures. We go back to the Old Testament. Any famous farmers in the Old Testament? Let's name a few. Abraham. You hear that? You ever heard that name before? Guess what he was? A farmer. Jacob. Moses. What about David? You hear that name before? Yeah. Became the king. How did he start out? A farmer, a shepherd. Some of the greatest names in Jewish history were shepherds. I'm going to read you the greatest from the Gospel of John, chapter 10. Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known of mine. And the Father knoweth me, even so I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And the other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them must I bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment I have received of my Father. Down to verse 25, Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I have said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, that they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. It's hard to put yourself in the mind of a shepherd. Think of trying to put your mind in the mind of a sheep. I don't know what animals think. They probably think most of us humans are pretty crazy, probably, because of all the things we get distracted by. But I would think they would have a general understanding that they are being cared for. Believer in Christ. Aren't you delighted to know that your shepherd is protecting you? And there is no wolf that is going to get you when he's watching. No one's going to pluck you out of his hand. That door is secure, my friends. And that's something that we have. Again, we go back to that four-letter word called hope. Our salvation is secure. It cannot be taken away. It's being guarded by the good shepherd, shall I say, the great shepherd, Jesus Christ. Oftentimes it's average Joes and plain Janes that God will use as His greatest messengers. There are those that will probably never darken the doors of the church. Maybe you know folks like that. You know folks everyone has a sphere of relationships. Whether it's the person you get your hair done with, or your insurance agent, or the guy that brings your fuel, or we all have our sphere of relationships. And they may never enter this door. As much as you invite them to come, maybe they're intimidated by, you could fill in the blank, by something. They just will not come to church. But they might sit down with you at your kitchen table, or at the diner, or over the fence while your neighbor's mowing his lawn, and talk with you. And you could tell them the same message that the shepherds heard. Yeah, just an ordinary person like you, God can use to share the great message of the gospel of Christ. They will listen intently as you share how your Savior has given you victory over the same struggles that they seem to be helplessly and hopelessly mired in. They will trust you because they can relate and connect with the fact that you're just as average as they are. But they'll soon find that you have something that they don't have that makes you above average, and because you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The only limitation of God using you is your unwillingness to be used. I've always said, I heard this once and I've repeated it hundreds of times, the greatest ability that you could ever give God is your availability. I mean, shepherds had a choice, right? They could have said, hey guys, we got a job to do, we're staying here, we're rubbed your eyes and said, yeah, okay. They listened, they obeyed, they were diligent, they were faithful. Understanding how the shepherds are viewed makes it all that more interesting that on the first Christmas night, it was to a group of shepherds that the angel of the Lord announced the birth of Christ. No more glorious announcement was ever made, and of all people, it was made to a group of lowly shepherds. Now, what will you do with the news of the Savior's birth? What will you do? Will you accept the message of hope as God's truth, found in the Scriptures, and trust it personally? Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. He was the ultimate sacrifice. He paid a debt we could not pay ourselves. There's no way, no how. We couldn't work that hard. We couldn't do enough ever to please God because of our sinfulness. And God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to come and to die and to be raised again, who now sits at His right hand making intercession for you. Such great hope. Even the disciples, as they were preparing to be separated from the physical presence of the Savior, we read in John 14, Jesus was comforting them. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. He proceeds to tell them, I'm getting heaven ready for you, brothers. I've got a place for you. If it were not so, I wouldn't tell you. God is the keeper of His promises. What a great message. Everyone in this room now is accountable to the message of the gospel. Accept it. Believe it. Trust in something that you can't do in its place. Believe that message. It will be the greatest Christmas you'd ever have if you've never trusted Christ. Believer, you're not off the hook this morning. How well are you doing at sharing the word? Will you, like these anonymous shepherds, share the gospel with diligence and faithfulness? Who do you know that needs to hear the message? And what attempts have you made to share it? Let me give you some counsel this morning. Go with haste. Go with haste and make known abroad the saying which was told unto you. Yeah, I'm giving you the job of a farmer this morning. From one farmer to another, it's probably one of the greatest lives you could ever experience. But praise God that He made you just like He did. He didn't make you too ordinary to do extraordinary things for His honor and for His glory. We extend to you, my family does, our church family extends to you just a blessed Christmas. We are praying for you. We're praying for this body of Christ. We're delighted to see, I'm delighted to see the pews filled and praise God. Praise God. We're praying for your pastor in the days ahead. If there's anything that we can do to help you, please don't be afraid to ask. And I'm sure we'll be seeing you soon again. But praise God. Praise God that He uses ordinary people. I praise God that He uses an old farmer like me to share the greatest message of all mankind, the Word of God. What a precious treasure we have. Amen. Precious treasure, the Word of God. Let's stand together as we sing number 194. I don't know if the shepherds wrote this song or not, but it's "Joy to the World, the Lord has come."